Welcome back to Data with Tarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Lance Stacey, and joining me in studio are Jessica Oh from KSES. We have Dan Tice and we have Leora Charles. And we're talking about addictions and recovery. And off air, we had an interesting conversation, and I'd like to share it with the community. Because when we talk about our emotions and feelings, a lot of it starts from when you're born. And I think Jessica touched on it a bit in terms of stating that, you know, that you come into this world and then you have this family. And sometimes the family, we're talking 3, 4, 5 generations of people, one who didn't have culture or the culture that we know or should have. I learned a couple of weeks ago, I've been taking workshops, and one of the things is how important welcoming in and teaching people what their gifts are from when you're born. We're just getting back into that. So that hasn't been there. I'm tying it also to attachment theories.
Right.
You know, and I was sharing one of my first things working in the field of addictions was don't trust, don't talk, don't feel. And that's still classic years later, no matter how much your family was affected by addiction. So, you know, if we could just maybe talk a little bit about that, you know.
So, I guess attachment theory, a lot of people are calling it a buzzword, or it's relatively new. I've been hearing people say
it's not.
And I'm like, it's not new. Basically, it's just be kind to your children, right?
But actually, in child development, yeah. Dear Eric Piaget is the one who coined the issue, started the thing with attachment. And I forgot, I think also one of the other psychologists, mm-hmm. You know, it's my psychology background here. And that was one of their things, was the work with the with monkeys.
Right. So
yeah.
Sometimes people
sorry,
like
but yeah.
But the thing is, at our core, human beings are primates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And even with any kind of mammal, right? As long as you're warm-blooded, it's just in your nature and you can't fight it. And you see it with babies. They don't want to be alone, right? They want to be with someone else. They want to feel safe. They want someone to hold them. They want to not feel like they're in danger. But for some reason, and, you know, when we think about residential schools and when we think about, you know, sort of like these Dr. Spock parenting and these ideas that came from the Victorian era of how to raise children, which is that, well, they should never cry and you should make them to be as independent as possible, goes against just nature, which is our nature is, you know, to be held. Our nature is to have somebody tell us everything's going to be okay. And what happens is when you don't do that for children, and we're talking about from the time they're born, their brain just gets flooded with stress hormones,
mm-hmm.
right? So they desperately want to feel a connection to somebody. They desperately want someone to make them feel safe, but they don't get that. And so their brain is flooded with stress hormones, which means, you know, now they have these they just become naturally anxious. I mean, it's not natural for them to be anxious, nope. But because at a very young age, their brain didn't get the nurturing it needed, now they feel anxious all
yes.
the time. And, you know, when we talk again about addictions, right, it's not about the substance. It's about how does the substance make you feel? Does it make you feel connected to somebody? Is the substance your friend now, right? Is that what makes you feel good? Because if you don't learn how to connect to other people, if you don't learn how to love other people,
yeah.
and if you don't learn what it's like to be loved, the substances take the place of that, right?
Absolutely.
If you never learn how to reach out, then it becomes very easy to reach for a substance instead. You know, so that's why, and we've brought it up a couple of times on other shows. You know, if anybody's ever interested in learning more about attachment theory, Step by Step does a great program. They have Circle of Security, and it, you know, really gives you a good basis on, you know, why do children behave the way they do, and it's really getting that connection, right? So, you know, you hear a lot, you know, old excuse, oh, they're just acting out, they're just looking for attention. No, they just want love, right? And it might not, they might not be asking for it the way we, for some reason, expect children to right. ask for love, but it's always about getting that connection to an adult who they need to make them feel safe.
Any thoughts, you guys?
From my perspective, the addictions, it doesn't discriminate between if you had a great upbringing or if you're abused as a child. You know, this thing does not discriminate. And what I have found is that when you suffer from an addiction such as I have, that there is a way out. You know, the circumstances are quite different. You could be from a single mother or two loving parents or two terrible parents or one terrible parent. Like I said, you find that it's just something inside of you that differentiates your reality with a substance than other people. Because my brother and sister, we had the same upbringing, and they drink and they can have a couple beer and go home. But with me, I take a couple beer and then something clicks inside of me where I don't know when I'm going to go home. So I can understand a lot about what you're saying about upbringing. Of course, there's a right way and a wrong way to raise children. And I believe that the more we love our kids and treat them well and with respect, the better they'll be, absolutely.
I guess I still have a few more questions to ask you guys. Living this new lifestyle, what makes you proud?
Releasing that shame and guilt that was attached with the recovery, like overcoming it and being in this radio station on this day telling my story to the whole community. You know, it's always like we feel like we have too much shame in this community sometimes, and we should be supporting each other rather than tearing each other down. Like I said before, I know my past, I understand it, and I use it as a tool of growth, not to try to tear myself down anymore.
Exactly. I spent a lot of time being shameful about the things in the past, but today they're a benefit to me. And what really turns me on today is when I get the opportunity to work with somebody and then they get well and I see them helping other people. It's an amazing experience. And I got the opportunity to do that a few times in the past while, where one individual in particular was 13 years trying to get sober in multiple rehabs, and I sat down, we got to work together, and he did what was shown to me, and now he'll be 3 years sober this coming March. And to see him work with other people, it's a beautiful thing.
What are your goals now from here? Like, what are things that you have planned for yourself?
Early on, I was looking at addictions counseling. I went to Concordia and McGill, and I looked into their programs. But at the same time, I have three kids at home, and I had three kids. One's moved out now. And I have responsibilities. I got to cover bills. I got to cover stuff like that. So I just I put that aside for now. And I right now I'm just doing my best at raising my children and taking care of the finances at the house.
I'm just going to jump in with
Go
a question. But for people who are, you know, experiencing relapse, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, from my perspective, it's. See, if you've lost the power of choice, if you, no matter what you do, you wind up drinking again, you're like me. So that the teachings that I follow, they refer to the only escape is a spiritual awakening. And people get afraid of the words and all that, but you can use any words you want. What it comes down to is see, I was alleviated from drinking for periods of time in my recovery, early recovery, where... But I was still resentful, angry. I was still dishonest. I was still selfish. I was still suffering from low self-esteem. But the substance was gone. So I was happy, but I wasn't free. So, but now through the spiritual awakening process, through the inventory and the telling of all the harms and hurts that I've experienced and done, the freedom I got from that, and to realize that resentment, selfishness, dishonesty is not a way to live well in this world, and to strive for that freedom of living well through honesty and selflessness and faith and courage and compassion. That's where the freedom comes, and to continue to be of benefit to the people around you, and that's what I try to do, and that's what keeps me free today.
My thing was like breaking the cycle, like looking at your family history and understanding, like, we always knew as children we didn't want to continue it, so why are we continuing it? And like just sticking to that and understanding that our children deserve this, like without a doubt, like this is the next generation that's going to make the change for this community, and that's what we need. So we need to uplift these kids and show them the right things. So I think your children should be right there, number one, for your reason and not to relapse.
Do you guys get worried about maintaining this lifestyle?
No.
Wow, that was a quick answer. Yeah. I like that.
In the freedom, it says that the problem has been removed, and I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. So as long as I stay, the wording is spiritually fit, then the chance of relapse is relatively nil. So, like I said, the fear of that. I used to spend a lot of time crossing off dates on my calendar, how many days I was sober.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, that one day would come up where there'd be a bunch of swear words on that day because I fell again. But today, time is, like I said, I go to bed at night, I give thanks, and the day is over, the game's over. So then I wake up in the morning, then the game's on. So what am I going to do today to seek that power that's keeping me sober? That's what I do. I live... Like, I don't spend a lot of time worried about the past or guilt-ridden, or I don't glorify the future too much anymore. What I've been given is a power to live in the present moment, to accept life as it comes, and then the freedom that comes with that.
I guess the one thing, and it was when Leora was speaking earlier, was about keeping growing and educating yourself and still finding, you know, doors were opening. You know, do you still find, does that happen now? Like different things get put in your path, you know, and helping you to get even stronger.
Yes, for sure. There's always something. Life is a journey, it's not a destination, and I accepted that, and I'm grateful every day that I have a chance and opportunity. So it's like I'm taking everything that I can to build myself to the best that I can be for me, you know, and my daughter comes second because she is me. So we're just growing together, and I want her to have all of these gifts that I were given. There's nobody else that I would rather share this with than her, you know.
One of the questions we asked our last guests was, how brave do you feel? Do you feel more like you're braver now? You're more courageous?
Yes.
Yeah, before it was all false
yes.
Bravery and
false ego.
Exactly, man.
False ego.
Yeah. But today, no, it's not actually bravery I feel. I just feel like contentment, like very comfortable with who I am today. I got no role to play anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I just am what I am, and that's good enough.
And you're not pretending.
No, exactly.
Because that's a lot of energy,
oh,
to pretend,
much, yeah.
To live two lives, right,
yeah,
basically.
So much freedom from just being yourself, you know.
And understanding your emotions. And
yeah, definitely.
Being your emotions, knowing that you are not your emotions, though, at the same time.
And I think one thing, and Dan had brought this up, you know, is even the whole idea of crying. You know, and there's studies again that how relieving that is, you know, but we were told from very young, oh, you know, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. And I remember my parents saying that, you know, and tons of parents, and you knew the parents from town because you can hear it, you know, you'd be at the shopping center or something and you knew there were people from town because you could hear that saying. And it's funny because there's nothing wrong. It's actually relieving. You know, I forget how many toxins are released when you cry, you know, so it's a good thing. But we were always told that's part of the emotional part that we're not allowed to be.
Right, so it's not just our physical health,
no.
Right? It's our emotional health. It's our mental health. It's our spiritual health. And we have to keep it all in balance. You have to, you know, and when we listen to Leora and Dan, you can tell that, you know, this process has really made them do a lot of self-reflection, not just on why do I feel what I feel, but why do I why do my actions make me feel this way, and how do my emotions make me take certain actions? And it's just, you know, it's a complicated web, but you have to be able to really, you know, be honest about yourself, be honest about all of your relationships. And, you know, that's why we do these shows. We don't know who's listening. We don't know whose story they're going to connect to. But we just want to get as many of these stories out. There might have been something Dan said today where somebody recognized themselves in that statement. There might have been something that Leora said where somebody recognizes themselves in, you know, in something she said or a story she shared.
And all our prior guests, because and people will feed it back, you know, that's really great, because I didn't understand that, or I couldn't connect it, or sometimes, you know, it's just that conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, because I thought through my, when I was in my pain and suffering of addiction, active addiction, I thought nobody could possibly feel the way I did, or nobody knew the depths in which I suffered, so, but it wasn't until I actually became willing, I guess, and to accept help, that that I realized that it's not a bad thing to get help and to seek the help you need.
So for anybody who's listening, if you're looking for help, if you're looking for guidance, you have questions, you can always give us a call at KSCS 450-632-6880. You can go to the website where if you go into the Addictions Response Services portion of the webpage, we have a lot of different resources listed there.
Last minute comments, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Opportunity.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for dropping in. As always, Jessica, this was awesome, and I really appreciate you guys sharing your story with us and our community. Tomorrow on the Day to Watarda talk show is the All Gonna Get Help show with Zuse Donalio. Up next with the 1 o'clock news is Paul Grafe. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Onegiwahi.